item 18 from the Director, Department of Parks, Recreation and Culture, presenting a verbal report on a proposal from Adventure Forest LLC, DBA Gold Ape, Whitnall Park LLC, to operate a forest adventure ropes course in Whitnall Park. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Good morning. I'm here with Director Dargle and also Chris Swallow, who is from Adventure Forest LLC, doing business as Go Ape. He is our Go Ape, rather, is our proposed vendor for the ropes course. We have considered operating a ropes course and zip line concession in one of our parks for several years. You may know that the zoo actually has a ropes course and zip line, but the one that we are proposing would be somewhat different in that it's in a wooded area. We anticipate actually coming forward with an action item related to this in a couple months, but we wanted to be here with an informational item before you today so that we could introduce this concept to you. We issued an RFP for a ropes course and zip line in November 2003, and we selected Go Ape as our preferred vendor. Go Ape is the largest ropes course vendor in the world. They have 6 ropes courses in the United States, and they're all in public parks. We would propose to site the ropes course in Whitnall Park near Ross Lodge. Go Ape selected that site in conjunction with our parks department. We decided that that was the most environmentally sustainable site in the park system. It also was not a residential area, and it gave Go Ape the opportunity to partner with some of our current current partners, including Weir Nature Center, Berner Botanical Gardens, and Zilly's. In addition, we really want to emphasize that this is an environmentally friendly activity, and I think Chris can talk a little more about that. We would not be engaging with Go Ape or proposing to build a ropes course if this was in any way environmentally detrimental. And with that, I'll turn it over to Chris.
Mr. Swallow, the floor is yours.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, thanks for the opportunity to speak to you guys, or speak to everyone. So Go Ape is a full-service operation that works exclusively with the parks to develop these treetop adventure services. It's a 2 to 3 hour experience. It's a great way to get friends, families out into the park. With a lot of our parks, we're bringing in 90% unique visitors to the park, so it's a great way to not only engage current visitors to the park, but also engage visitors who haven't come to the park before. In addition to our treetop adventure services, we also try to align our goals to those of the park. So we try to distribute the benefits to not only the people that can afford the course, but those that can't. So we give around 10% of our tickets to underserved and special needs communities. We engage in stewardship activities. We do cleanups and remove non-native invasives, whatever kind of stewardship opportunities there are within the park. We also have fundraising weekends where we give money to the friends groups or to other user groups that are involved with the park. So we really try to create a partnership not with just us in the park, but also with the community. Really, we just, within each of our activities, with each of our courses, we try to make a course not only the parks can be proud of, but the community can be proud of. And what I wanted to show you today, hopefully, was a video, if it works. It looks like maybe half of it will work. A video showing kind of an aesthetic of the course, and it goes through a lot of the talking points and questions that normally come up when we're developing our courses. And also there's a brief presentation afterwards that just kind of underscores more of the details, and then I'm happy to answer any questions about the course and project.
Thank you. corporate groups, friends, and families. Customers are fit for harnesses and receive a comprehensive safety briefing by our trained instructors. Participants are not allowed to proceed through the course until they have demonstrated that they can do so safely.
Very clear and thorough job explaining the course.
We had a great time. The instructors were a lot of fun and safe. They went through everything. I felt very confident getting on the course. Everyone had me followed. It was a good time.
Can't wait to come back again.
At GoWave, we take our environmental responsibility seriously, as GoWave is dependent on the beauty and long-term health of the trees. Independent arborists inspect all the trees annually to ensure that they continue to thrive. The cables and platforms are kept off the trees by wooden staves, which allow the trees to grow. The material used on the course and cabin is from sustainable sources. GoWave works with the landowner to create an environmental management plan to increase biodiversity and achieve other environmental goals. GoWave takes great care to blend the course into the natural setting and to reduce any environmental impact. All GoWave courses are semi-permanent, be removed from the trees without leaving a footprint. There is no music or heavy machinery used in the build or operation of the course. The only sound that filters through the trees is the laughter of families and friends enjoying this unique, natural experience.
I'm probably the closest neighbor to GoWave, and my house is only about 100 yards from the course. And there's a lot of discussion when they were coming in here about what it means for our neighborhood, but it's really been great. If you didn't know the course was there, and you're taking a walk through the park, you wouldn't even really see it.
GoWave chooses to accommodate a maximum of 14 customers every 30 minutes, with the majority of customers booking in advance, either online or through our call center. This self-imposed constraint reduces lines and provides for a better customer experience. Our course management also limits car flow to approximately 4 or 5 car arrivals every 30 minutes, and therefore does not create traffic issues, even at peak times. Dog walkers and other park visitors not taking part in a GoWave course are still free to walk the trails below. Fencing is only used to protect the course access points from improper use and to protect members of the public from wandering into zip line landing areas. Our staff inspects the course daily, and ladders are taken up at night, so no one can access the course after hours. GoWave is proud of the significant benefits it provides to the community and our partners. By encouraging young people away from their TVs and PlayStations, they gain a greater appreciation for nature while building self-confidence. Special needs participants also enjoy the GoWave experience, allowing them to partake in an activity that provides a great sense of personal achievement. GoWave works with their partners and friends of groups to create interpretive signage and environmental programming to educate visitors on the local ecology and history. Landowners receive a revenue share from GoWave in return for the use of the forest canopy. Local and state tax revenue is also generated. Moreover, the landowners and local community also benefit from the improvement of park facilities and the secondary spend made at local businesses. GoWave also provides 12 new worthwhile and well-rewarded jobs.
GoWave was totally awesome. You got to jump off of these big, giant 45-foot platforms and wind down from the trees.
GoWave was an amazing experience. They taught us all the safety procedures we need to. They wanted to make sure it was fun and safe adventure. It was exhilarating. I really enjoyed it.
I would do it again any minute.
Yeah, great.
The GoWave course is an inclusive and adventurous educational activity with the primary goals of enhancing the community and encouraging everyone to live life adventurously.
You never get tired of that music. So now if we can switch to the presentation.
five. At the top. It's
great. Okay, so just going through the course. So I said we were a full-service operation, so I didn't say we actually pay for the course in its entirety. We do the design, build, and operation of the course. That doesn't say that we work autonomously. We work with the parks throughout all those stages. And the course is a 2 to 3 hour experience, 2 to 3 acres kind of linearly. What we try to do, and hopefully the video conveyed this, is you know, we rely on the course on the natural aesthetic of the park. It's part of the attraction. So we take great measures to protect the natural area and to give it space. We don't want to have, we're not going to take up the whole forest canopy. Part of the thing that's exciting about the course is as you go through the various stages, you can't really see what's ahead of you. So we try to create space within the park and not take up the whole 2 to 3 acres. And like the video showed, we're using zip lines, swings, rope ladders, and obstacles to get through the course. The operation is owned by myself and my colleagues, Dan and Jane D'Agostino. We're in a partnership with the UK company. We mainly did that to acquire their kind of lessons learned in terms of operation. They've had 3.5 million people through their course without any major incident. So we've kind of used that partnership to extend our courses through the 6 parks and park or county parks and 1 state park that we're currently operating in. And yeah, there's a focus on accountability within each of our partnerships. So we're kind of a growing business slowly and surely, and so we rely on each of our partnerships to be able to say this was a positive experience. So within each of those partnerships, we great focus to be accountable and to make sure that the county has a great experience with it, but also the community. And also, we try to make this, to distribute the benefits of this course. We realize it is a fee that not every family within the county can afford, so we just try to distribute those benefits and provide free tickets to underserved and special needs communities. Also, this is a very inclusive activity. The ages for the course are 10 and up, and the oldest person to do the course is an 85-year-old grandmother. Granted, doing it with her grandkids, granted she's pretty hardcore, but still, it's an inclusive experience that takes into account all athletic levels and however in shape you are. I'm terrible at drawing this, and this won't be the actual rendering of what the course looks like. I can show you what the actual course design will look like once the design, if the design's done. But I tried to show that we're not taking up the whole space, but this is generally the vicinity that the proposed course would be located in Whitman Park. We'll be using an existing facility within Whitnall Park. We're going to make improvements to that. We'll also make the improvements to build ADA parking and an ADA ramp to the facility. So we'll be paying for that as well.
If you all know where this is 90, South 92nd Street and the Lodge, and then the Toboggan Sled or Slide or Hill.
And I just showed this. This is like our closest course to Milwaukee. This is in Indianapolis, in Eagle Creek Park. And this is to demonstrate that you know we're not taking up the whole kind of canopy. If you can see, the course is laid out in what we call 5 sites. So there's an entry ladder, 5 or 6 obstacles, and then a zip line. And so each of these sites constitutes it. So there's an up ladder here. There's 5 or 6 obstacles, and then there's a zip line. And then you go from here, and there's like 5 to 6 courses, and then a zip line back. So that's the general configuration. We try to arrange the course so you start and end in basically the same place. So we've tailored our operations to the parks. We had over 10 years of experience delivering these types of courses within parks. One major misconception of what we do is that we're like a theme park or an amusement park. We're nothing like that, and we take every effort to distance ourselves from that connotation. We manage the flow of the course, and we do this for 2 reasons. One, because within the parks that we operate, we don't want to flood the infrastructure so people can't use the other amenities within the park. Also, there's you know, we don't want to create any traffic issues. But also, as a course experience, it works similar, as I was describing, in sites that we go to sequentially. So like a golf course, if we have, you know, 30 people coming at one time, then there's bottlenecks, and then it isn't a good guest experience. So we limit the amount of people. We do it on an appointment basis. 90% of the people book ahead of time via online, so we can regulate the people that are coming in and out. And it's average about 10 to 14 parking spaces that we need. We have a parking facility that more than accommodates for that. In max, it's around 25 to 30 parking spaces. And that's generally on the weekends. Like I said, we try to fit aesthetically within the park and create an environmental management plan, doing park cleanups, non-native invasive removals, or whatever other stewardship activities that the parks are interested in us doing. Another thing that's really exciting is that we already have kind of a partner lined up to help us with the educational programming that will go throughout the course. We typically partner with the Friends Group. In this case, it'll be the Weir Nature Center that's in Arden Wendell Park. So that's really exciting. So all our partners are extremely satisfied and proud of kind of our development within the park. We have excellent ratings from all of our customers and participants. Free discount tickets to underserved and special needs communities, fundraisers for kind of local nonprofits. Typically, that's the Friends Group or other user groups that use the park. So that. In terms of the environmental sustainability, we have an arborist, independent arborist, check all the trees that we'll be using in around the course. Once we do the design, we have arborists on staff, and we also encourage the park arborists to take part in this. We've been on 850 trees since we've been operating with no negative impacts to the trees. Like I said, the aesthetic of the park and the trees are the most important part of our business, so we take great care in ensuring that there is no negative impact. I think that's most of it. And like I said, we fully indemnify the county of any liability. We've had, this should be updated, 3.5 million customers. There's a training program for all the instructors. We'll hire approximately 12 to 15 instructors locally. We'll bring one site manager from an existing location here to be the site manager. And unauthorized access, like you saw in the video, we take up the ladder so there's no way to access the course after hours. And this is just a video of some of the cleanups that we've done, some of the fundraisers, non-native invasive removals, and partnerships with Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. So that's some of the details of the course.
Thanks for familiarizing us with the concepts. Questions by committee members, Supervisor Borkowski, then Staskunas.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Swall, excuse me. Is it true that you teach your participants the primal scream before they are able to access your course? Would you like? I
we don't see, know what
I
to wanna, make of
I
them either.
See, I want to see if I qualify. All right. Another serious question. In those pictures, I didn't see anybody wearing a loincloth. So, watch. You don't think I'm going to let this go?
No.
Terrible. I mean, come on.
I knew better.
Go ape? Are you kidding me? I waited 22 years for something like this. On a serious note, Mr. Swallow, did I read, was it $55 for adults? And did I read that somewhere? I was just kind of looking through my notes here. What are you charging for your participants?
Yeah, it's $55 for adults and $35 for kids, and it's a 2 to 3 hour course experience. We also offer discounts to seniors, various like public workers, teachers, firefighters. We offer discounts for groups.
Well, and I know you're kind of new to this area, and while I'll speak for the community, they're frugal. I'm a cheapskate. That seems kind of high, and I guess I don't know, you know, and you may have to kind of watch those figures because, you know, I hear $55, and that just kind of like, whoa. You know, I mean, I know it's a neat experience and that kind of stuff, but we're talking $55. So I would say be careful of how you charge people. We are a frugal community, and while you know you're going to have the novelty effect, okay, that people are going to want to do this at least once, okay, I would think that you know if you keep it reasonable, you're going to have a lot of repeat business.
At our other courses, so 55 for adults and 35 for kids is the price at all of our locations. And that includes a lot of locations with a lot lower medium income and a lot less disposable income than the Milwaukee area. So we have done some market analysis to validate that. Also comparatives with other activities similar to ours within the area. We feel pretty confident of it, but we certainly will keep a watch of it because we want to make sure that the community can participate, and also that we provide a revenue share that's acceptable to the park system.
Good luck to you.
Supervisor Staskunas, then Supervisor Rainey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, thanks very much for your presentation. This looks really exciting and a really great value-added activity to our park. So I really appreciate you considering this. Questions. I didn't see lighting, so I'm assuming that this is not a night activity in any way.
No.
Okay. And time of year? I mean, do you suspend operations during the winter, and this is sort of like a fair weather?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a little surprising that it was snowing yesterday. That was a nice welcome to Milwaukee. It'll generally be in this area, probably from April time frame to the November time frame. So it'll be a seasonal activity.
Okay. And then when we talk about upgrades to the cabin, are you talking about Ross Lodge? Or is there another cabin there that – I guess I'm familiar with Ross Lodge, but
– It's a small cabin. They call it the Outpost. It's right near Ross Lodge. It's very small.
Do the Boy Scouts use that cabin?
No, they really don't. Weir Nature Center was using it for storage, but they're fine with giving up the storage space.
Okay. And is this will this impact the usage of Ross Lodge by the scouts in any way? I mean, is this going to take away their ability to use Ross Lodge?
No.
Okay.
I think it'll complement the activities out there, Supervisor, and travel with that. I think that our just initial discussions with the person and his staff is that they are weary. They're knowledgeable of the activities going on, so they're going to be cognizant of that.
Yeah. We're using a different parking facility, so for that aspect there won't be any problem. And we don't require exclusive use of the area that we're using because we're largely in the canopy, so any activity that's happening on the ground can continue to happen independent of our operation.
And you jumped right into my next question is, what activities do we have going on the ground in the proposed area? I mean, are there hiking trails where this will be proposed or where...
There are currently some trails that go through that area, as well as the Toboggan Hill. We were not in operation last year for the Toboggan Hill, but obviously that's during the wintertime. No other activities there that are through that area of operation, except for the trails that go through it, and we'll work around the trails that are currently out there.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Good. Supervisor Rainey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Carter, what evidence is there that demonstrates that this is a desired or a viable amenity here in Milwaukee County?
Supervisor, the ropes course at the zoo has been quite successful. I think that's the only direct evidence you can point to. Other than that, I think you can look to the fact that the public has responded quite well to other new amenities that we've brought in at the Parks Department. We've looked to what other Parks Departments have done and the fact that they've been successful, you know. In all six locations where parks have brought in ropes courses, they've been successful. So this would be new to Milwaukee County in that it's in a wooded area. But it's done quite well in places like Indianapolis and St. Louis. So I think it would do quite well here in Milwaukee.
Okay. How many other organizations have responded to the RFP?
Only one.
And there's no insurance liability for the patrons of this on Milwaukee County?
The liability would be fully on GO8. They would fully indemnify us.
And has Go Ape ever experienced a legal encounter from these activities?
No.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Supervisor Haas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, sir. Welcome to Milwaukee. The snow, we were like, what the heck? Yeah, it was unpleasant here, even for locals. Two quick questions. How many other locations do you have of this?
So there's six other locations, all with county parks, with the exception of we have one course with Delaware State Parks.
Okay. And where is Go Ape based?
In Frederick, Maryland.
Okay.
We actually just moved our head office there recently.
Cool. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Earlier, you explained that you have a partnership with a UK company,
yep.
And now that you're based in Maryland, and when I had tried to do research on your company, I didn't see anything showing that you were had an incorporation in the state of Wisconsin. Can you help us understand just the corporate relationship of your structure?
Absolutely. So AFLLC is the parent company, and so each of our courses has an independent LLC within each of the states. Yeah. So following or as part of when the contract's finalized, we'll create an LLC within the state of Wisconsin, and then we'll be operating out of that LLC. So there's kind of a hierarchical relationship with AFLLC, and then each of the courses has their own LLC. And then above AFLLC, there's the ownership, which I'm an owner, my partner's an owner, and then the UK has part of the ownership. But the U.S. partners have the majority of the ownership of AFLLC.
Okay, thank you.
And I'd be happy to do a diagram or something, because that is a little bit confusing.
I think I followed. If anyone else needs it, please feel free to speak up. Mr. Chairman, I'm also curious, one of the other supervisors touched lightly on insurance issues and the county being indemnified. I'm curious when we're told that there have not been any injuries or deaths, I'd like to ask for clarification if that is LLC specific or if that is across the entire Go Ape brand.
Yeah, I will say there are some injuries. There are occasionally like rolled ankles, but not anything that would be above and beyond what you would experience with even passive forms of recreation like hiking. Certain things happen on the course, like they do within any sort of passive or active type of recreation. So it's not to say that there's never any injuries whatsoever. We take great effort in terms of our documentation on the course. And so that's allowed us to prevent a lot of, like, the frivolous lawsuits that may come up. There have been instances when those have been offered to us, and we've provided documentation that the person left well and without injuries, so we were able to avoid any sort of litigation in those cases.
So are you saying that when a person completes a course, they have paperwork to sign then as well, verifying that they haven't had an injury?
There is verification that somebody left the course and completed the course. So that documentation helps if there is an opportunity or somebody's trying to take an opportunity to have a frivolous lawsuit or something like that. So okay. There's documentation throughout the process from the customer side to take care of a lot of incidents that would happen. But most of it has to do with us being, if we're not taking proper care of the course. And so we have daily, weekly, quarterly, and yearly checks that we do on every facet of the operation. So it's difficult to claim that we're not being holding the course to the proper standard.
And despite the fact that Go Ape has patrons sign an indemnification clause for Go Ape before a sanction onto the course, have you ever had any insurance claims against the LLC or within the Go Ape brand for injury that have been found valid and had to be paid out?
Not at this point.
Okay. Tough questions, but need to be asked. I guess personally, I used to be in the Army, so I'm familiar with this kind of stuff, and I'm excited if it comes here. I will certainly be a customer. But on that note, another question is, how do we prevent this from looking theme parky. A lot of times when you have special activities like this, you get billboards up outside the park and Go Ape, Go Ape, Go Ape signs or something like that. How do we, it seemed like your presentation showed that Go Ape as a brand is very respectful of the natural order of the park and, you know, that you use that to your advantage. But how do we keep neighbors in the area and people who really want this to be a more serene environment from seeing commercialization of the park?
One of the things, just to give solace to our park partners and to the community, is that most of our contracts require like marketing approval of our marketing plan. It's not in our best interest to do that, and so we don't want to make it look theme parky in the first place. But just as additional solace, there is that approval that would take place beforehand, saying, you know, can we put, you know, a sign there? The most that we'll ask for outside of the park is maybe one directional signage showing where the course is. But most of our marketing dollars go to digital marketing, print, and those sort of aspects, and not things that will negatively impact the aesthetic of the surrounding area.
So if I understood that comment correctly, the Parks Department would have a wide open door to ensure there's clauses in any contract that would be proposed so that it doesn't look theme parky and we don't have an injection of too much signage or lights or something like that.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That answers my question.
Thank you. Are there further questions by committee members?
Chairman, Supervisor, I'd also like to add that tonight we're hosting a public information meeting in regards to this proposal as well. And then we'll be coming back to you for action on the contract that we'll be finalizing, negotiating at this point with GoApe. So you'll have a future action item for approval.
And that's taking place at Whitnall?
That's taking place at Burner.
At Burner.
Mechanical, the visitor center
okay.
there at Burner.
The garden house.
The garden house.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Swallow. If this item is informational, it doesn't require action at this time by the committee, but it's been an enlightening presentation, and I think we're welcoming of your participation.
Chairman, Supervisors, thank you for your time.
Sure. Item number 19,